In Jesus' name, we pray, God, that you would search our hearts, that you would test us, that you would see any anxiousness in us, that you would show us any way in us that offends you, and that you would lead us along the path of everlasting life. Amen. This morning, we're continuing this series that we're calling Renovation. And there were, I don't know how many people in the building. There were two small groups in the building that we completed the purchase on Friday. So thank God for that. And we had two small groups get in there, and they have, I mean, pine saw and brooms. There was one point where Kathy and I think maybe Lisa, we had a couple of people who were on their backs on the floor scraping gum from the bottom of tables, because this is a restaurant that we purchased, and probably some fourth and fifth graders were in there at some point. I don't know how to explain it. I guess maybe adults do that too. So we are in the process of renovating a space, renovating a building from being a building that was for a restaurant, that was to make money by selling food and a bar there, by selling drink, to renovate it so that it is an outpost for God's church to send out disciples who make disciples in the community. And I am so excited to see what that's going to look like, how everything is going to unfold. Now, it's going to take more than simply renovating a building. We are renovating a church culture here. We're transforming some of the ways that church has been done. And this is nothing new to us. When we first came to town 13 years ago and opened things up, we were doing things a little different from how they were often done. We're going to continue to do things a little differently, not for the sake of difference, not for the sake of comfort, for the sake of advancing the kingdom of God. This is a great time to insert an amen, somebody. Yeah, for the advancement of the kingdom of God. That's what we're here for. So last week we talked about a renovation being tearing down our tendency, because renovation often starts with a sledgehammer, tearing down our tendency to learn simply for insight or understanding. Now, before I even continue, is there anything wrong with having insight or understanding? No. As I was studying for this week's message, I read in Daniel chapter 10, Daniel prays specifically for understanding. So I can't look at him and go, well, you shouldn't be praying for understanding. The problem is when we hold up insight and understanding as the end goal. We want to break down our tendency to simply learn for insight and understanding. And we want to follow the instructions of Jesus, where he, when he gives his great commission, says, I've been given all authority on heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey. Teaching them to obey everything I commanded. Surely I'll be with you always, even to the end of the age. So, the command is not learn to memorize or learn to understand or learn new insights. Teach them to obey. So the first renovation that's going to be critically important in the culture of New Day Christian Church is to break down that tendency to learn simply for insight and understanding, and instead to learn to obey, to put learning into practice. Now, a simple change that we've made along those lines, maybe you missed it last week, on the back of your program, down towards the bottom, it says, for reflection and obedience. What step of obedience is God bringing to your mind and heart right now? as I go through this teaching this morning, something might come to your mind. It might be a person, it might be a situation. I don't know what it's going to be. I want you to be listening for those kinds of things. It might not even have anything to do with the message. It might be something that pops into your mind, and you might have to wonder, is this a distraction, or has God brought this to my mind for a reason? Is there something he wants me to do in this situation for this person, whatever it is? And I always want you to be thinking about that. We just put it in print here so you can write something down. Move it from your thoughts into your fingertips and write it down, and then let what you wrote down move into your hands and into your feet as you go wherever you're going this week, shifting to obedience. And we did this last week. I'm curious, how many people did have something come to mind? How many people did write something down on their... Okay, so one of the questions in our small group homework was, do you think this is really an issue of us, that New Day Christian Church has, people simply learning for insight versus learning to obey? And about a third of my small group said, this is not a real issue here. We have people who are, they're learning to obey. They're putting into practice. They're obeying. And about a third of the people said, maybe in some ways, yeah, in some ways, no. And about a third of the people said, yeah, this is definitely an issue that we have, that people are learning and they're not putting into practice what they're learning. I spent too much time last week. My message went too long. Thank you for your patience. Going into Scripture and digging out how important it is for people who love God to express their love to Him through obedience. And I suggested one of the ways that we could renovate is the thing that I just described to you. And what I just saw, maybe I missed some, but I saw one hand. I saw one hand go up of people who went, okay, I've heard that, and now I'm going to move towards obedience. I'm not here to, like, put a guilt trip on everybody. You don't have to do things the way that I do things. But I thought maybe there'd be 10. You know? Like, so when our small group says, I'm not sure this is an issue, I just don't know, how are you prioritizing obedience to God? How are you personally doing that? You don't have to do it with the little thing on the back of the program. If you're not doing that, what are you doing in order to make sure that you are not like the foolish person who builds their house on the sand, who hears what Jesus says and does not put it into practice, because the storms will come and your house will fall. It will collapse. There will be a great calamity. Is this a renovation that New Day needs? I didn't say this in my small group, but I'll say it here. I had an answer written down on my small group homework. Is this an issue for our church? Why or why not? I said, yes. Why? Because I know it's an issue for me. I know I'm a lot more comfortable learning for understanding than I am learning something and then saying, okay, now, God, what would you have me do with this? Because I know that's going to involve change. I know that's going to involve maybe things that I don't prefer. And I know ultimately that when I do what he prefers, that's good for me. I'm resistant to that. That's me. I spent way more time on that. That was a recap of last week. What I want to make sure we do, though, is we don't just learn something and then move on. That's part of the principle. That's part of the concept. Learn and do and put it into practice. Renovation number one is obedience. Renovation number two, today, what we're doing is digging into prayer. And I'm thankful for Heather, who's on the computer, and who I'm just going to give you cues from up here, because this is like already my notes. I'm not really going to follow them, but I'll tell you what we need to. Well, thumbs up. All right, cool. So in December 2018, so a little over a year ago, Russ Wiegand, who was up here on the drugs. First it's the fourth and fifth graders, and now Russ Wiegand, I just don't know. Russ was on the drums. We took a road trip to Washington, D.C. because we were traveling to Nigeria together, and the only way to get a Nigerian visa is to actually go to the consulate, so we drove, and we were trying to prepare for this trip to Nigeria. So when one of us wasn't driving, that person would be reading from a book called The Kingdom Unleashed, and in that book, it points out that Christianity is growing faster than it has ever grown before in terms of multiplying disciples around the world, just not in the United States, in Europe, in the what they refer to as the global north, think developed nations. Christianity is growing faster than it's ever grown before, but not in our backyard. What's happening? What's happening around the world that's not happening here? And one of the things that we read about that really stuck out to me was prayer. Renovation number two is prayer. And as I think about prayer in our church, I'm so encouraged, because from that time in December 2018 to now, we've grown a lot in this area. And I'm so grateful to God for that. I'm grateful to you for that, that I've seen that kind of growth. We are not going to be changing our community, transforming lives for God's glory, apart from His involvement. And His involvement is called upon through prayer. We've got to be orienting our hearts to Him. Sometimes we think about prayer in terms of quantity of prayer, and that is definitely important. The kind of renovation I'm talking about that comes to my mind as I think about prayer here is a balancing of those prayers that, like as Jesus taught us to pray, He told us to pray some things that were about ourselves. Give us our daily bread, you know, what we need for today. Give us food. Forgive us in the same way that we forgive others. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So give me daily bread. Forgive me. And lead me not into evil, but protect me from that. These are prayers for ourselves that Jesus tells us to do. So certainly we should do that. The problem that we run into is we do so much of that we miss the first part of the prayer. And I'm not saying that just we miss it when we think through how Jesus taught us to pray. I'm saying in our own prayers, our tendency is to jump to what we want or what we need. How many of you, I'm not even going to ask for a show of hands. We're going to do an experiment. Many of you grew up in a church setting. Some of you went to a religious school, and memorizing the Lord's Prayer was something that you did. Now, we may have learned it in traditions that have a little bit different translation, so I'm not saying we're all, you know, anybody in here who's memorized it, but I'm curious. And if you haven't memorized it, you're fine. That's totally okay. I'm just curious. I want to do a little experiment here. I want us to, if you know it, if you haven't memorized, I want to hear you say it. We're going to try it. I'm just curious. How many people? So I know some of you are getting, you're fired up right now. So it begins like this. Our Father. Amen. Oh my goodness, do we have a little bit of religious background in us? Wow. So this is written on many of your hearts. Let's dig into it a little bit. So Heather, Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 9, the KJV. We're going King James Version this morning, because that's how many of us learned this passage of Scripture. I love it. I love it. King James, Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. That's not how a lot of us talk anymore, which is why we use the New Living Translation. Some churches, they say King James Version, you know, it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me. The timing of that doesn't really work. But anyway, after this manner, therefore pray ye. Okay, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now, as I've been studying about prayer and about this prayer in specific, because this is the prayer that when the followers of Jesus said, Jesus, teach us how to pray. He said, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. And there's this part here, as it is in heaven. And in my studies, what one scholar pointed out was the as it is in heaven is a little clause that could be applied to the three things that are prior to it. The hallowed be thy name. So I'm just going to reorganize this just a little bit. Hallowed be thy name as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come as it is in heaven. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That the first three specific things that Jesus tells us to pray about really are about heaven invading earth, about things happening here the way they happen in heaven. And I think this is absolutely fascinating, because so often when we think about what should I be praying about, we think about praying for someone to go to heaven. I want someone to be saved so they go to heaven. Jesus, the prayer of Jesus is that heaven would come here. That things would be done here as they are in heaven. So if you're taking notes in the back of your program, we would pray, if we were to pray in this manner, be honored. Be honored, God. That's what hallowed be thy name. That God would be honored where I live, just like it is in heaven. God is honored in heaven. What would it look like for God to be honored in my heart, in my home, in my neighborhood? God be honored here the same way you're honored in heaven. And then, thy kingdom come. Bring your kingdom authority where I live, just like it is in heaven. I'm reading through the Psalms right now, and I'm reading over and over where the psalmist will say about God, bring your justice, your righteousness. We look around us, and we see injustice. We see inequality. We see unfairness. We see pain. We see racism. We see the rich getting richer and the poor getting poorer, and we say, this isn't right. The call for God's kingdom to come is for a righteous authority to rule rather than selfish human hearts. Rather than thinking of kingdom as a realm, think of it as God's reign. God reign on earth the way you reign in heaven. And then thy will be done. Be obeyed is how you could say that. Where I live, just like it is in heaven, be obeyed. These are the prayers that Jesus prays. Right? Not a prayer for people to go to heaven, but a prayer for heaven to come to earth. It's not a small prayer to increase our comfort. It is a call for the Almighty to invade the creation that has rebelled against him. I just want to remind us, if you've been around here a little bit, you've heard this before, it might be new to you. When Jesus talks about the church, he doesn't talk about a building. He doesn't establish the church as a fortress that protects us from the devil. He says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it or will not withstand it. And gates are a defensive measure. So Jesus is saying, I'm going to build a church that invades hell. When he's teaching his followers about prayer, and they're going around, they're casting out demons by the authority of the name of Jesus Christ and bringing people to peace and to healing. And there's one point where he says, his followers say, why couldn't we cast this one out that you came in and just took care of it? He said, this kind can only be done by prayer. And then goes on to say that if you're going to steal something from a strong man's home, you've got to first tie up the strong man. And he's talking about the devil. So he's saying, I'm going to build a church. Not a church that is a fortress, but a church that is an army. And I have the authority to tie up spiritual forces so that we can invade and steal from him and plunder from him. And what is being stolen and plundered? What does the devil have that God wants? Often we think, well, nothing. He has the souls of people who have rebelled against God. That's our family, that's our friends, that's our neighbors, that's us in this room. And apart from the gift of God through Jesus Christ, dying on the cross so that our sins could be forgiven, we are helpless, hopeless, bound for hell. So we've been given this charge, this responsibility to be an army that invades and plunders the gates of hell with the authority of heaven. So when Jesus talks about your will being done on earth as it is in heaven, your kingdom coming on earth as it is in heaven, these are authoritative statements about the force of a God who is king reigning in a place where we have rebelled against him. It is a heavenly invasion. And as I've learned about prayer and as I've seen the temperature of prayer in this church grow since I really started paying closer attention to it a little over a year ago, I'm understanding better the power of prayer. I think about Revive Wisconsin, where people go out and they are seeing, they're starting conversations and they're seeing if somebody has an openness to hear the good news of the kingdom of God, the good news of the kingdom of heaven, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that they're looking for those conversations, looking for that openness. And then there's a group that stays back that just prays. And I think about the Apostle Paul talking about how we are in a battle. It's not against flesh and blood. Our enemies are not people. Our enemies are spiritual powers at work in our lives, in our homes, in our community. There is a battle going on. And I think of those people going out and starting conversations as they're the ground forces. And I think about the people who are praying. Well, I get this image in my mind, and I want to share it with you. A short clip that's going to end abruptly because we don't want any swear words happening in here, fourth and fifth graders. I'm going to share this clip, and I want you to think about the ground forces, about going out and interacting with people, and then the prayer forces are off at a distance. And take a look at this video clip.
That's our objective, Hacksaw Ridge. We take it, maybe we get Okinawa. We get Okinawa, we take Japan. Take a breather. Our pals in the Navy are gonna soften them up for us.
So there are spiritual forces at work in your neighborhood. And by the way, I'm not advocating that we blow up Okinawa. We are sending people to Japan. We are sending ground forces, so to speak, missionaries to Japan to support churches there. They're being called in to fight against spiritual powers at work, to start conversations where the good news of the kingdom of God could come into hearts and homes that are open to it. And we have an opportunity now to pray for people in Japan. We have an opportunity now, as they said in here, to soften up those spiritual forces. You have an opportunity when you're sitting in your home and you're having your morning coffee and you've got your Bible open and you're reading God's Word. He may put on your heart somebody, and don't even wait for that. Think about the names of the people in the homes who live around you. And you have the opportunity and the responsibility to pray for them. Now, is that about them being more comfortable primarily? Is that about them getting what they need primarily? That's part of it. But I think we need to balance our prayers out and say, in the authority of Jesus Christ, I can call on the armies of heaven to battle on behalf of God being honored in this place where I live as He is in heaven. On His kingdom authority coming to this place as it is in heaven. His will being done. Me obeying Him the same way He's obeyed in heaven. And for my neighbors to be freed from the depression that's holding them back, from the anxiety that's holding them back, from the selfishness that's hurting their marriage, from the abuse that they still are chained to, that they're carrying with them. That God would come in and with His authority, the authority of Jesus Christ, who can cast out evil, that we would pray that His authority would come. That's the opportunity that we have. So if we counterbalance our prayers for ourselves, the daily bread and the forgiveness and the lead me, these are important prayers. They need to be counterbalanced with the reality that you have been given authority in Jesus Christ to fight evil, to invade a rebellious existence with heaven on earth. Yeah, and that happens where we see love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. These are the ways that the kingdom of heaven invades. These are the ways that he reigns in our hearts and then shows people there is good news. There is a different kingdom at work. You are loved. You are precious to a holy God. Come back. Come back to him. Tonight, we'll go into that new building. It's an old building. It needs to be renovated. It's new to us, though. And rather than immediately talking about which walls are going to come down and what color the carpet is going to be and where are we going to fit everybody and all the questions, the logistical questions of what is the space going to look like. And I'll tell you what, and I know there are questions about, you know, can we do weddings and funerals and showers? And I'm going to tell you, we do not have a building use policy. We just need to chill a little bit. There's a lot of work that needs to be done. We're going to go in there, and we're going to pray, and we're going to praise the Lord together, and we are going to share communion together to remember that our reason for being there, the author and perfecter of our faith, is Jesus Christ. And our mission is not primarily to have a space that's comfortable for weddings and funerals and showers. Our mission is to see heaven invade earth in a way that makes dead men and women come to life for eternity. That's the call. That's the mission. That's what this building is a tool for. It's just a tool for that purpose. So we're going to go in there, 6:30, and we're going to pray together, and we're going to praise together, and we're going to share communion together. And then there are all kinds of logistical things that, yes, we will talk about. We want to make sure we know why, what the purpose is. So you're welcome to come there. Wednesday mornings at Vino Latte, they've got an upstairs room, and we have people who gather there, and they pray. Why would you get up 6:30 to get there at 6:30 in the morning to pray? Because you want to be part of that naval assault. You want to be part of softening up the spiritual forces of darkness that are at work in your heart, in your home, in your community. You want to be driving that out. You want to be softening things up for the ground war against Satan. The Apostle John said that the Son of Man came to destroy the works of the devil. We have the opportunity to join him, and one of the ways we join him is through prayer. So that happens on Wednesday mornings. Small groups, I challenge you to think about this idea of prayer, to think about the way Jesus told us to pray. How is he going to be honored in our hearts, our homes, our communities, on earth as it is in heaven? Where are we going to see his authority? Where are we going to break through the oppression of the devil with the good news of the kingdom? Let's make our prayers to an almighty God. Big prayers. That's renovation number two. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray right now. that as people have come in here with worries, with anxieties, with guilt and shame, we pray in the authority of Jesus Christ that the kingdom authority of God would untangle those things in our lives, that there would be a peace that goes beyond anything we could understand, that we would experience it right now and into this week so that we can be focused on obeying the words and the will of Jesus Christ. God put on our hearts something for us to obey this week. Something we can write down, something we can share with other people, something we can be held accountable to, something that becomes an expression of our love to you, God. Thank you for constantly providing for us. We love you. We certainly need you. Amen.